Every Woman is a feminist show about women making a difference and the men by their side. As 50% of humanity before wars and domestic violence took over, and 53% of the eligible U.S. voters, women are not a special interest group, and every woman should work and vote toward nothing less than 50-50 participation in social, political, and economic arenas. The views and opinions expressed on Every Woman are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the volunteer staff management of KKFI and the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated. Good afternoon. This is Sharon Lockhart with Marvita Oliver. And today in the studio with us is our guest, Beth Bird, and we will be talking more with her later. And then second segment is an interview that Marvita did regarding medical marijuana.
Medical cannabis, yes.
Cannabis.
They'll be voting about it in the next election.
So right now we're going to begin with Beth Bird reading our news today.
All right. Thank you. The reboot of the Ghostbusters franchise, starring an all-female cast, was released on Friday. The movie is receiving positive reviews despite early criticism of casting women in the classic male roles. With Pokemon Go taking the world by storm, KKFI is pleased to announce that our station, located at 39th and Main, is an official Pokestop. Be safe. All right. Presidential candidate Donald Trump has announced Mike Pence as his running mate. Pence has a long track record of supporting regressive policies on women and the LGBT community.
Thank you, Beth.
Sure.
And Beth is here today because she is a regional and local mime for all of her life.
Yes.
And I'll let you, Beth, tell you more about herself. But she is producing a fundraiser at the Fringe Festival for KKFI.
Right. That's right. So I'll talk fast, as you know me. So, yes, I'm Beth Birdlonsky. I'm the Artistic Director of Bird Productions. I've been the Artistic Director for 21 years. I'm very excited to be partnering with and helping to create the Comedia Kansas City Company. This is our first, because I'm in the company as well. So not only am I a co-producer, I'm a company member. And we're producing the show, The Treasure of the Golden Monkey King, at the Kansas City Fringe Festival. The Fringe Festival runs July 21st through the 31st. We have six performances on the Jerome stage at the Unicorn Theater. And all the times are listed on the kcfringe.org website. They're also on our Facebook pages for Bird Productions Physical Theater and the Comedy Kansas City Facebook page. Also, probably my personal page. So, hey, also probably on the KKFI page, I'm pretty sure. So, yes, 20% of all of our ticket sales will go to support KKFI 90.1 FM this year. It's a real opportunity for us. Bill Claus is a longtime friend of mine, and he was not able to produce this year's fundraiser show for KKFI. He's on vacation. So he's retired and on vacation. And so he called me long time ago because he knows I would know what I was doing. I always know what I'm doing. Not really.
Well, you're a woman. Of course you would know what
I did plan ahead. He knew I would plan ahead. So, yeah, he was a safe phone call. And he knows I'm a big-time supporter of KKFI. And it is an opportunity for me to finally be able to do something real in support for KKFI, not just the occasional donation and interview and things like that. It's a real opportunity to be able to do this. So, yeah.
And also, you have the distinction of being one of the longest producers, or the only.
I might be the only one. There might be a few others, but I, as far as producers with the Kansas City Fringe Festival, Bird Productions has produced all 12 years. And we were one of the first people groups to really support Cheryl and her very big idea. you know. So, yeah, it's very happy to be able to do that.
It is a lot of fun. And, yes. Of course, the Fringe Festival is a nonprofit.
Correct.
And they sell a button that gets you into all of the productions for $5. And we can say that because it is a nonprofit. And then each performance has an individual price.
Well, actually, they've standardized the ticket price. And you can find that on the website as well. All the ticket prices have been standardized. So, yeah, it's that way, people know what they're getting, you know. Into, hopefully. As far as what you're getting into with the Fringe Festival, I almost had the elevator speech. I know I'm just generalizing, but it's around 120 different performing companies around, you can find this all on their website, around 21 venues, around 400 different performances. They have visual art, music, all kinds of performing art. It is a feed your soul, feed your brain event. I know one of the things that's been talked about in Kansas City is a festival to end all festivals. I know the city planners have been talking about that. And I got to say, it already exists. Mm-hmm. This is it. As if they want one. But also there's some, not to take away from all the amazing festivals that have been going on so long in Kansas City. Kansas City is a festival city. It's a city of festivals and fountains. And I think the Fringe Festival was they were very smart to start a Fringe Festival in Kansas City. So, yeah.
Speaking of starting the festival, what made them come up with wanting to do a Fringe Festival since you've been there from the beginning? Do you know any of that history?
Yeah, well, the Fringe Festival started Edinburgh, Scotland, decades and decades ago because they had a major theater festival that happened in the heart of the city, and it was at all of the primary theaters, the ones that were already pretty well known and established. And so there were a lot of small theater companies in Edinburgh that wanted to be seen and heard, and they just weren't getting the coverage or whatever, the exposure. So they said, good, you go ahead and add your main festival. We're going to call ours the Fringe Festival, and it'll be on the outer fringe of town. And that's exactly, you know, it's how it happened. And then I think one of the longest standing ones in America started in Minneapolis, maybe California first, but I have a feeling Minneapolis was first. So if you want to see a really well-run Fringe Festival, Minneapolis has one. I know Indianapolis, theirs is exactly 12 years as well as ours. I'm from Indiana. That's how I know that. So there you can actually do a Fringe Festival circuit as performers do, like my friend Tim Mooney. And several other folks, but he comes to mind, you know, it's a first and foremost. I'm not sure if he's coming to town this time. So there's some really wonderful performers who hone their craft on a Fringe Festival. So,
that name Tim Mooney, he's not on Saturday Night Live, is he?
No, that's a different guy.
That's a different guy.
But, you know, I'm sure he would not mind if he got that gig. On the other hand, he's so busy writing his own original material, as well as doing a lot of Shakespeare. So, yeah, who knows?
Well, you may not know this, but I'm actually a Fringe Festival alumni.
Oh, yes.
I was in one of the plays. I don't know if it was 2011 or 2010.
Right.
I was in a play called The Statistics in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a brand new experience and a lot of fun. I was my first time acting in a play.
I'm trying to think if we shared the stage with you. The Flock, the company of clowns that I'm in, had we performed on the stage at the living room, and I'm thinking that might have been the same year.
Mm.
And that's a blur. It's all a blur. Seriously, when you do it every year, you're like, I have to really look at my website. Mm-hmm. And I should have printed off my resume. Yeah, and that's the one thing I didn't print off before I got here. That's how I remember what I did when I did it.
I'm glad you gave us the history because I honestly thought the Fringe was referring to just Fringe kind of fashion.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I actually bought myself a top that has Fringe on it that I plan to wear Fringe Festival.
That's great. That is awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, that people are still getting to know what the Fringe Festival is. A lot of times they'll hear French. I was like, no, I do French stuff too. You know, I'm a mime. I study with Marcel Marceau. I get called to do the French stuff.
Studied?
With Marcel Marceau.
Wow, when did you do that?
Oh, now, 98, I believe. 98. Wow. I really have to, yes. The reason why I know, what year was the flood? 93? The flood in Kansas City, 93. It was 93 because I was getting rained out of my rehearsal space in Illinois. Gambier, Ohio. Excuse me. I travel so much. Gambier, Ohio, where this school was, and I knew that my friends were swimming for it in Kansas City while I was walking through puddles and getting harassed by skunks in this tiny town. At least I wasn't swimming for it. So, yeah, 93 is when I studied from
that must have been really interesting.
He was a really wonderful guy to study with, really super sweet, hardworking. And, just one of the things I want to emphasize today is that people – he taught us how to write our own original material. So when you think about mime, I hope I know a lot of Americans think of really bad schlocky street mime stuff. That is not my fault. It is not the fault of any mime I know, by the way. When we get together, it is not what we do. And if we find out someone is doing that, we lynch them. Just kidding. it's a gentle beating. No, we just, stage material. We write and perform for the stage with lights and sound. We are playwrights that are performing through silent theater.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing for the KKFI fundraiser?
Oh, yes. Fringe. Well, okay. So there's a lot that Bird Productions is doing with the Fringe. And I do want to emphasize that the main thing we're doing is the Treasure of the Golden Monkey King. And I get to be Arlecchina. If you know what it is, it's Comedia, and Comedia is all of your stock characters, and you will see a lot of the stock characters in Shakespeare, your lovers, your doctors, your misers, Pantalone, Arlecchina's the clown, Brighella's the master of the fools. We've got a couple of fools. We've got a really wonderful cast. But when it comes down to it, it's big physical comedy, big fat physical comedy, and it's hilarious. I get beaten up a lot, that's why I'm producing it. I'm wearing a half mask. We're all wearing the very classic half masks, we are actually doing a Kickstarter for ourselves so that we can get our masks made. Every Comedia company has to have their own mask to fit their own face. Otherwise, a lot of times they're too big because they're usually made for guys. Well, there's a lot of women in this company. And so we're getting our masks made. You can find our Kickstarter campaign on our Comedia Kansas City Facebook page. You can find it on the Bird Productions Physical Theater Facebook page. And we're just raising enough money to cover our expenses so that none of the ticket sales go toward that. They go toward paying the actors, and 20% goes to KKFI. So we're not taking the pre-production costs out. Like, we're getting costumes made by Lisa Bakley. Josh Christ is making our masks. He's a local, wonderful mask maker. We're his first commission. Then after this, he moves to LA and he gets hired by a big studio, by the way. Mm-hmm. So this is the last time we get to have masks probably made by him. He's going to go far, and we can say we knew him when. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Another thing that's happening with the Comedia company is we're having a workshop. Bird Productions has partnered with The Fringe. I've lost count how many years in a row producing the workshops for The Fringe. And so the last weekend of The Fringe Festival, the Saturday and Sunday, we have two different types of physical theater workshops. We have the one on Saturday. We're helping to bring in Kinetic Fusion. Kinetic Fusion happen to be friends of mine, but sometimes I don't know them very well at all. But it's physical theater. My friend Kirsten Stevens and her company, Kinetic Fusion, are coming into town. She studied with Marcel Marceau for the entire 3 years in France, and she's bringing a very funny show into town. She really pokes fun at fear with her show, and I'm trying to find the name of it. Sorry, I've got so many things in front of me. But the Kinetic Fusion show, gosh, I'm trying to find it. The workshop itself is the Saturday from 10 to noon by their company. And then the workshop on Sunday is from 10 to noon, and that is by Patrick Ripiteau, our director and writer of the Comedia Kansas City company. And he'll be training people on how to be the different characters. It's a very physical training. So eat your Wheaties, kids. Bring lots of, dress for movement. Nothing in your pockets. Drink lots of water. Both of those take place at the Just Off Broadway Theater in the Penn Valley Room. It's got a wonderful dance floor in there. Most people don't know that that's a dance floor. It's a sprung wood floor with a dance floor covering. I know that because I'm the one who got the money for it.
Is that the main stage area?
No, I just said it's the Penn Valley room, and that's the side room.
Okay.
Yes, that's the one. That's the room that's off to the right, and that way we're not in the way of anything going on the stage. However, we do need to clear out right at noon because that's where the performers come in and warm up before their show on this main stage. So we've got to be out of the way by noon o'clock. And so, but yeah, it's the Just Off Broadway Theater, and it is a, if I may say, a really great place to do workshops in that room. So yeah,
if people don't know much about the Fringe Festival, how do they choose what event to go to? How do they know? Because one thing I can say, the Fringe Festival is a lot of fun.
Right.
People, on the one hand, don't take themselves too seriously, but
right.
on the other hand, it's a very serious.
Yes.
You know, it's very serious. The entertainment is very serious at the same time.
It can be. You know, the thing of it is, it's a good place to really try stuff out without a lot of expense to the producer. Like a lot of artists will self-produce for the first time at a Fringe Festival, and that way they know they have a pretty good shot of getting an audience, because a lot of folks will simply just go to one location and stay there or just try new stuff. How people pick, goodness knows. Well, I would say go to the opening night, Thursday night, the 21st at the Folly Theater, and everybody gets exactly 2.5 minutes to show a little bit about their piece, about their number. I've got a 2.5 minute solo this Thursday, because I'm Arlecchina, and I'm going to do a little bit of what's called Lotsy, which is just, and then Patrick is going, Brighella is going to chase me off the stage. And so that's the Folly Theater this Thursday, and I believe it starts at 7 o'clock.
And the Follies at 12th and Broadway.
Yeah, 12th and Broadway. 12th and it's actually, yeah, right. On 12th Street. I love the Folly Theater. I think it's absolutely one of the best stages ever. I've performed on a lot of stages. I was the director of Modern Night, the Folly, for the first 5 years. I am so thrilled to be able to get to be on the Folly stage for a short solo, and I'm about to pee my pants just saying that. So, yeah.
I did the opening night. It was at the Heartland Theater in Crown Center last year.
Last year, so we're
and yeah. Well, I had an interesting experience. I got on the escalator and they reversed it on me, and I just had knee surgery, and
about
flipped out. But anyway, I didn't get hurt, luckily. But that was scary. If you've ever been on an escalator and had it reversed on you, you just can't.
Yes. You're talking about
you
one of my nightmares.
Do that in a mind.
Oh no, I will. I'm so paranoid of escalators. You've tapped into the one thing that, as an adult, I can't believe I have an issue with. But I'm one of those people who's like, please just go on and pass me until you know, like there's no one behind me on an escalator, and then I'll gradually step onto it, and I try to act brave. But that first step, like, I go, and my husband's like, what was that? I go, none of your business. I've told you. You don't. Yeah, no.
But it was a great way to figure out what it was you wanted to see. So.
Oh, yes. The opening night. Also, get a program. You can go online at www.kcfringe.org. But I'm one of those old-fashioned people that needs something written, and I start circling, and I start highlighting, and I look at my calendar, and when am I performing, when am I not performing, and I do my best to make it to my friends' performances and support each other, that kind of thing. So yeah,
that opening night show is really helpful because it's so much fun because all the players are in one building together wearing whatever crazy uniform they might have.
And that's
on.
Also how we figure out, like, oh, that's awesome. You look great this year. What are you doing? And a lot of times that really is how we see our friends, is that opening night. So, and then we hang out at Fringe Central, which is down at Union Station this year. If you want to go to walk into one location and get the I don't think the program's printed yet, but I could be wrong about that. I'm going to go down there later today. Mm-hmm. And it's at Union Station, main floor, bottom floor, next close to the bottom of the escalators, ironically. Yes, and so that's a place to go.
Union Station, if you want to know
Fringe Central,
if you want to know anything about what's happening with the Fringe festival. And because the French festival, if you could tell us again, how long does it last?
The July 21st through the 31st.
That's a long time. That's a, one week.
Yes.
Ten whole days.
And that 31st is like the best of the hangover, the Fringe hangover. So if you really like a show, you know, that's the, it's by ticket sales at the locations. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping, to have a seventh performance. And once again, 20% of those tickets sales will go to KKFI. So if we have, if we make the best of at our location, the Jerome stage at the Unicorn Theater, then, we just, that's just more for the Fringe. I mean, so more for the, for KKFI. Forgot which hat I was wearing for a second. It's more for KKFI. And so not to influence, but that's what I'm here for. Straight up. So, so yeah, if you support KKFI, please come see our show. We are doing our best to do KKFI proud. We are creating and writing original material. We're rehearsing our tails off.
Have you rehearsed here in this building?
We are constantly in your building, by the
way. I think I've heard you.
Yes. And I want to apologize to Mike Murphy and several other folks that were on the air and were outside getting filmed by, we're getting filmed, by the way, by Thad Parnell and Steve Valenzuela. They are with Independent Film Coalition of Kansas City, and they made a documentary about our company starting up. So there's a little pressure on us between we're trying to do everything with this one little show. So really, if you want to see, I think they did a fun job. They were fun to work with, Thad and Steve. They came to several of our rehearsals. They came to our homes and interviewed us in our homes. And their performance, their show is at the Musical Theater Heritage, and they have three shows as part of the Independent Film Coalition's of Kansas City Presents Live at the Fringe. Three screenings of short narrative and documentary films with a focus on the art and artists of the Fringe Festival itself.
Oh, so you'll be shown.
Yes. I think at one time it's opposite of us. I don't know if we're definitely going to go to their opening night Tuesday, July 26th at 6:30. And it's a competition. Oh my gosh. So the Fringe artist documentaries will be in competition with each other with the first, second, and third in audience choice awards chosen by the audience. So I hope we were a good topic for these two guys because they were super sweet. And, so check that out. That's part of the Fringe Festival as well.
Can you describe the audience size?
It depends.
As far as like, how that can be.
If it's 12, we're like, we have an audience, we'll do it. If it's less than that, we're like, we're going to buck up Buttercup and give them, you know. But if it's more than like 30 or something, like, yes, we can kind of relax a little bit and go, okay, we're going to get a true like audience response, a true group response. There's a certain number that you can feel when it gets past. Like, okay, now they're going to relax and be part of a group. If there's too small, you're like, I'm going to be the one who's going to be the loudest. I'm going to be the one that doesn't say anything. I mean, you know, like they kind of pick who they're going to be within this small group. So we're hoping for, you know, 20s, 30s. If we get more, if we actually fill, we'll be so thrilled. That much energy.
You know, that
awesome.
Reminds me, earlier this year, no, it was during the Royals. Oh, my God, what am I thinking? It was during the Royals playoff. I was at a play at the Unicorn.
Yes.
And oh, my God, there couldn't have been 15 people in the audience. And these two men just acted their hearts out.
Exactly.
I had to give them a standing ovation.
Right. You know what it is. Yes.
They were working so hard for so few people.
Exactly. Exactly. So
they were marvelous.
That does bring out this like this thing inside of you. It's like, God, they're going to get as much money as if they, you know, there were 150, not just 15, you know. So, yeah.
There's definitely a something that causes you to really want to do your best and make money.
For those people.
Yeah, for those people. Because some of the venues only hold maybe 30 people.
Right, like the
less.
Fish tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great intimate space. And you can like, you, I'm making you laugh. You know, you over there, I'm making you laugh. And Comedia is really straight out to the audience, by the way. We are, you know, you've heard of the fourth wall in theater, and we are talking straight out to the, we're doing takes like, hey, and they were pointing and making eye contact, and there's no fourth wall with Comedia. Mm-hmm. Same thing with clown and mime, you know, you're acknowledging the audience almost the entire time. So, yeah. Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to be afraid to sit in the front seat. It's not like we're going to bring anybody up on stage and do an audience participation thing. It's not Cirque du Soleil. You're safe. We're just going to include you. Like there'll be a side. It's just Shakespeare used to do when he's like, like King Richard would talk directly to the audience. Well, I'm a terrible person and you're in on it. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't know, so things like that. So, gosh, I'm trying to think of a few more things I wanted to mention.
Well, talk about what you're doing tonight.
Okay, great. Goodness sakes. Let's see. Well, tonight, talk about strong women. You guys have got to know about Billy Mahoney. Billy Mahoney is having her jazz tap jam tonight at the Uptown Arts Bar. And Billy Mahoney is 87 years old, and she can kick all of our tails. Actually, she can kick over our heads. And literally. And she's got her tap jam just up the street at 3611 Broadway, the Arts Bar tonight at 7 o'clock. And she's amazing. One of the Ringling Brothers actually wrote a song just for her. She only performed with Ringling Brothers. She was a baton twirler when they performed at the Garden. She was a USO performer traveling for the troops. And then she also danced with Fosse, Blue Eyes. She could name drop all day, and she doesn't, but she could.
And she's a Kansas City resident that we need to have on Every Woman.
Absolutely, you need to have her on this show. Yes, Billy Mahoney. So if you want to, and it's a lot of fun. She's got these great musicians. They're just jamming. They do what they call, I'm going to mess it up. She's going to yell at me. Trading, she's yelling at the radio. I can feel it. Where they go back and forth, and they'll do steps, counts, trading counts. That's not it. She's going to kill me. Anyway, she should. And so they go back and forth. The drummer will play the tap roll tap. The drummer will play the tap roll.
It's kind of like scatting.
Back and forth a little bit. And then she'll have people have worked with her, study with her, get up and, we're going to do the shim sham. We're going to do this step. We're going to do that step. And we'll do it as a group. And then she'll have some solo performers there. But really, you don't have to dance to go and enjoy, just grab a drink and get ready to clap and just have. It's a party. It's like if you rolled up the carpet and you had some musicians and they put the chairs around the outer edge so the center is all open for dance, and it's like a roll up the carpet party.
That sounds like fun. That's
it really
tonight.
Is. Tonight, 7 o'clock at the Uptown Arts Bar from 7 to 9. Tonight at the Uptown Arts Bar, talk about a really strong woman. And right after that, another really strong female friend of mine, Jeanette Powers, has a poetry event. And I don't have that in front of me, but I'm going to be there. But yeah, talk about a strong woman making things happen. Jeanette Powers at the Uptown Arts Bar, Jen Harris, they have so much going on there. They've got open mics. Open mics Monday, comedy Wednesday, poetry Tuesday, music Thursday, karaoke. That's all at the Uptown Arts Bar. Go to their website. Somebody just asked me about kid friendly shows. I would say.
And while you're looking, I know Jen Harris.
Yes.
She's a poet. Who attended JCCC, Johnson County Community College.
Yes.
And she's doing a lot for poetry here in Kansas City.
She sure
City.
Is. And she has a Kickstarter. Really growing... She has a Kickstarter campaign that she really could use some help on right now. So mm-hmm. Jen Harris on Facebook.
And the growing KC poetry community.
Right. Okay, so kid-friendly. Our show is kid-friendly, but it is suggestive. But if the kids get it, it's not our fault. That's the way Comedia is. And as far as the Kinetic Fusion show that is happening, why can I not seem to find that? It's called Rumors of Shadows. It's a comic horror that deals with the effect of pervasive fear on people's behavior. I'm pretty sure that's family friendly as well. And that is all. I don't have it. I don't have the location. But yeah, Kinetic Fusion. Check them out at the KC Fringe as well.
So kcfringe.org to find the schedule.
Yes.
No doubt.
Right.
And the Union and then, Station if you want to get information during the Fringe Festival.
Right. And as far as the workshops go, those are happening just off Broadway Theater. The only place to get those tickets is on Byrd Productions Facebook page.
BYRD.
Thank you. BYRD. Byrd Productions Physical Theater on Facebook. And we've got a way to get your tickets to the workshops there.
And we are hoping that you have a great success with this fundraiser for KKFI.
Thank you. Come see The Treasure of the Golden Monkey King at the Jerome Stage at the Unicorn Theater.
Six opportunities.
Hopefully seven. Hey. All right.
Thank you, Beth Bird.
Thank you.
And we'll have to get some suggestions for other women who are making a difference in the arts in Kansas City.
All right. Thank you.
Great. And now we have some messages.
Pair Excellence 3, locally yours. A beer pairing with Anton's Tap Room and Cinderblock Brewing Company. At Anton's Tap Room on July 21st at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. This five-course dinner will feature pairings from the chef at Anton's and the head brewer of Cinderblock, specifically paired to bring out the best aspects of each course. Locally brewed and locally grown, July 21st, this beer pairing dinner is at Anton's Tap Room at 1610 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri. Reserve your seat today at kkfi.org/events. All proceeds benefit 90.1 FM KKFI.
Join us this week on Jaws of Justice Radio when we revisit the events that have been on everyone's mind lately. The police killings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, as well as the sniper killing of five police officers in Dallas. Our host David Bell and his guest Dr. Melissa Patterson-Hasley will be in the studio to discuss the issues and take your calls. That's Jaws of Justice Radio on Monday morning at 9 a.m. right after Democracy Now! Here on 90.1 FM KKFI.
Hi, this is Marvita with Every Woman Again. Our next interview will be with Julita Latimer. She is a woman here in Kansas City who's trying to fight and do what she can to help bring medical cannabis into the Missouri, and they're going to be voting for it in the fall. So stay tuned, listen in to this interesting interview about medical cannabis here in Missouri. Today's guest is Julita Latimer. She'll be talking with us about the future of medical cannabis and edibles in Missouri. Hi, Julita. Welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, yes. Thank you for having me, Michael. I really appreciate it. I'm Julita Latimer, and I am looking towards the future of medical cannabis passing a law in the state of Missouri in November. I'll be applying for a license to have a cultivation facility, a dispensary, and to make edibles. Business name is Nature's Apothecary, and I'm very excited about the future.
How did you decide you wanted to sell medical cannabis and edibles?
Well, it really was about a year and a half ago almost, and I just kind of woke up and said, oh, I know how to make money. And so I started looking. I'll open a dispensary is really just what I thought. So I started researching it and realized I hadn't never even been to a dispensary. So I went to a conference in Denver. And by the third speaker, I realized it wasn't about the money, that it really was about the medicine. And the more I've studied and the more I've learned, the more I am committed to bringing it to Kansas City and being a supplier of really good, clean medicine.
What did you learn that swayed you in a positive direction towards wanting to be someone to supply it?
Well, it was interesting. The first three speakers were all men. And towards the end of their time speaking to us, they all said, it's about the love. And that just really sets well with me. My business right now is Julita Catering. And people will say, how is this taste so good? What did you do? And my pat answer is always, it's about the love. And so that's exactly what it was. That's what swayed me and realized that it was much more than just money.
And when they were talking, were they also referring to the edibles as well, or were they?
They were talking about different subjects. This was a very small conference, which was perfect for my first one. But there was a gentleman who was talking about, he'd just been working on light for, I don't know, 20, 30 years. So then it was a gentleman who was about seeds. So it wasn't so much that they were all talking about one subject as much as, I mean, you don't think a man who's spent his life studying lighting for cannabis at the end of it says, but when it comes down to it, it's the love. So that's what struck me.
Okay, well, I know when you go to these conferences, a lot of times they'll say, okay, yeah, the sessions are all right, but what about when you meet the people in the hallways and you sit and talk to those people? Sometimes they say that's really what the conference is all about. What were you hearing from the other people who were attending?
Well, since then, I've actually gone to about 6 conferences total, and you get something different. Different size conferences, and you get different people at all of them, and how you mesh. And the seminars are great, but especially in the beginning, for me to be able to talk to people about really nothing. I knew nothing about this. I really didn't. And to be able to ask some questions, my questions were very novice, but everyone was really, really kind and talked, and it was really positive. It's a really, the culture is very positive about making a change. It's, you know, it's not all just about getting high. So it's pretty neat that there's so many people who are kind of devoted to this plant.
That's interesting, because but I did want to ask you a little bit more, if I can go back to find out a little bit more about you. So you're a caterer, and how do you do things, when you were a little girl, did you think one day, I think I want to cook, or were you thinking you'd do something else? How did you come to do what you're doing today?
Kind of everything I do, it's something that I've just kind of fallen into it. I was not that person that always knew what they wanted to do when they were young. I always cooked. When I was little, I did. And so that was something that was very natural for me. And actually, I liked the caterers that catered my wedding so much. I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. So my very first cooking job was here in Kansas City, almost 28 years ago at the Classic Cup in Westport. And that's where I started.
How soon after your wedding was that?
That was about 4 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So whenever you want to do something, you just do it.
It seems to be a pattern. Well, but I stick with it.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that to be your strength, one of your strengths?
But that I stick with it?
Yeah, that you know what you want to do, and you do it, and you stick with it.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not... It takes quite a bit. I mean, not that I to change my mind about it. If I get into it and I realize, oh, this is just not for me, I can do that. But, you know, Nature's Apothecary is a huge business, and... for a business that's not really, has no brick and mortar yet, but it takes a lot of time. I think if I was not that person, I would have backed out a while ago, but I'm the person that does. I have some tenacity, I guess I would say.
Okay. And the name of your business is Nature's Apothecary?
Yes.
So what, are you actually in business now, or?
Not yet, because that's illegal.
Maybe in another state.
No, my family's understanding, but not that.
Well, that's good to hear we're not doing anything illegal.
No.
Well, you know, it's really an odd situation. I mean, it happens, I guess, when there's transition in society and you're ready to take that next step. So what needs to happen next for you to get started in your business? This isn't just up to you.
No, it's not.
This is like, we got to wait on Congress, I mean, the legislator. So what needs to happen?
Well, first, what we're waiting for is to hear back from the state that The petitions that we submitted on in May on Mother's Day. It was a great Mother's Day present for me. That they accept them and that the initiative will be on the ballot. We foresee no reason why it won't be. We had over 100,000 signatures more than we needed, so that's great. So then it'll be on November 8th. It'll be on the presidential ballot election. And we'll do, between now and then, you'll start seeing more kind of educating the public on cannabis as medicine, that to alleviate some of the fears of what people might think will happen if we legalize cannabis. So I think you'll see a lot more of that. And hopefully there'll be some town hall kind of things. But I think we have a very good feeling that it's very supported in Missouri.
And when you say we, are you speaking about the collective mass of people or certain individuals? Or?
Well, I'm speaking of the collective mass, but I'm on the board of directors for Normal Kansas City, and that's the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And so when I say we, I kind of usually think of our group, because that's what our mission statement is to legalize.
I see. Julita, when I think about educating people about marijuana, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, or the thing that maybe I might have heard most recently, is like the debates that come up about those who are pro-legalizing, those who are con. And so what are some of the main issues that people have against legalizing marijuana that you know of the issues?
Well, you know, first of all, there are people that believe that cannabis is a gateway drug. And so they see that legalizing it makes it easier for children to get it, and for other people to then go ahead and use it and go on to using harder drugs. I don't believe that's the case at all. I think we probably have more issues with alcohol. And, well, one thing is there are definitely people that believe that the medical cannabis movement is just a facade for getting recreational or adult use cannabis going. And that's not true. I mean, I'm sure somebody's out there, you know, that's all they care about. But there's a lot of science. More than science, though, there's a lot of people out there that can share a story with you of how it has touched their life. And I don't mean just touched it. It's transformed. And I think we've seen enough. All you have to do is be on Facebook a little while, and they put a couple of videos of children before using CBD and after. I just had someone tell me, an adult, that she hasn't had seizures in years because she was able to work with cannabis.
Mm. You mentioned CBD. What does that stand for?
Cannabinoids.
Okay.
It is a cannabinoid. It is part that doesn't have the THC. It has very healing properties as well. But just because it heals doesn't mean that it can't be used with THC. THC also sometimes, to make it effective for certain conditions, need to be used in tandem. So
you feel it's a medicine and people need to understand how to use it so that it can be most effective for different individuals, like other medicines?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, when you speak with people who do medicate with it, they never refer to it as being high. They are medicated, because the whole point of them using it is most of them are getting off of opiates, and they want to have a more productive life. Mm-hmm. So they can either continue having chronic pain, or they could continue taking a lot of opiates and they become addicted, are addicted, and are spaced out. Or they can learn to medicate. And usually medicating is a very small amount of cannabis that's consumed at a time.
Mm-hmm. And how is it consumed? How are the different ways to consume cannabis?
You can consume. You can smoke it like most people think of as a joint or like a bong or something. You can vaporize. You can. They have tinctures. They have cannabis oil and, of course, all different kinds of edibles.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have topicals as well.
When Normal goes about wanting to educate the public about being pro towards legalizing cannabis, what are some of the types of things that they do as an organization as far as presenting the information to groups?
We are actually working on that right now, on what our package will be. We have a chapter meeting every month, and in those chapter meetings, we usually have a keynote speaker. And then we talk about other things as well. And that is a lot of our educating right there. But we are working on kind of a more formal, not just once a month chapter meetings on how we're going to roll it out.
And where do you all meet?
We actually meet most of the time in the downtown library.
Okay. That's the library on Main?
Mm-hmm.
In 10th Street?
Is yes. That
right?
Yeah.
Okay. What days do you normally meet and what times?
I should back up. That's our board meeting that I just told you about. We meet every Sunday for 2 hours. So you've got a nice group of people who are pretty committed to this. And then our chapter meetings, I think, are usually about the third Saturday. And those usually happen at the Plaza Library by Chipotle's. And that meeting is, it's 3 to 5.
Is the chapter meeting open?
Those are open to the public, mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And you can find out those times and things like that. You can go to normalkc website.org website. We also have a Facebook page, and you can click on, and it'll give you what the chapter meeting is about and things like that.
So that's normalkc.org?
Yes.
And the Facebook page is normalkc,
yes,
as well?
Yes.
Do you have a Twitter account?
You know, I don't know that we have a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
But Nature's Apothecary does.
Nature's Apothecary,
yes,
does. I would say most people don't, but I know some people who have set up a business that they haven't been able to do the business, but they've set it up. What happens if they don't vote this in the next election, then what will you do with your plan?
I think my plan will still be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that it will happen later.
Okay, so you're not thinking of going to another state?
No, my family's here and my friends are here, and it's important for me to bring it here. So just because it didn't happen in timeline I was liking it to be, I don't want to leave it. So I want to stay here and bring it here.
I can see your commitment, which adds to the determination, the tenacity, and the stick-to-itiveness. With Nature's Apothecary, what's the mission, what's the vision that you have for your store?
Okay, well, our biggest mission is to bring organically grown, environmentally sustainable, quality strains of cannabis for the use of medical purposes for patients. And that's really our focus, is to do a really high end of that, very focused on strains that are compatible with the conditions that people may have, so that there's choices and things.
So there's a large gardening or horticulture component into this. You'll have to understand how to grow, what to grow, how to cross.
I do. I have growers because I could grow a plant, but I can grow multiple plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be growing a greenhouse. It's what I'm choosing to grow because I think it's a less of a carbon footprint. It is. It's not just thinking. Talk about take a village. This is a team effort. So I have growers. Not everybody is hired in places, but if I didn't have a grower, I couldn't go forward because I would not be growing myself. Mm-hmm. That would not be smart.
This really sounds interesting. It almost sounds like a movie kind of.
What's next? Like, does she get the license?
Let's growers.
Okay, you know. It's my reality show.
Yeah, right. There's 25 states that have legalized medical cannabis, plus D.C. And two states, Ohio and Pennsylvania, legalized it in 2016. So there seems to be a momentum going along. What was it about the bill that you feel caused it not to pass this last
bill? I can't speak on that one.
Okay. So
I don't know. I have opinions, but I don't want to.
Okay.
Sorry.
So how did the community respond to this last bill that died in May?
Well, I think there was more people outside of our community that were, because they don't know the ins and outs of what's going on, that were like, oh, bummer, you know. But those of us in the know, we were already working on New Approach Missouri's initiative. So we still had hope, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you think people's perceptions and maybe understanding of medical marijuana in Missouri or in the Midwest is changing somewhat with what happened in Colorado and the other states? Do you think people are looking at it another way than maybe what they might have been 10 years ago?
I think absolutely you're correct on that. I think people have been exposed to it more. I think you have people who are going to Colorado now that it's recreational. People who had maybe never tried it because it was illegal before. I also think because the more information that gets out nationwide, it's an industry thing. It's not a state thing. So I think when it gets more information gets out, then you start running into people who are now, like I said earlier, are being touched by it because someone's nephew, because their nephew has epilepsy. And now they've seen that they've tried some stuff and it's worked. You know, people have to be very careful, though, because we're in Missouri, because it's not legal. So,
even with a doctor's prescription?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
The only thing that's legal right now is there is CBD that's being made outside of St. Charles, and that's for intractable epilepsy. And you'd have to go get a prescription from that doctor. But they just, it's only been a couple of months that I think that they've actually started selling their oil.
Okay.
So then that's why you run into people, you not run into, but there's people who are brooding their entire families and moving to states because they can't watch their children die.
I've heard about that, where especially when it's related to the children, they will move their children to Colorado.
And it's breaking up families.
Else. Yeah.
I mean, I just was watching a woman. She's in Colorado. No, I think she and her husband are in Colorado with their child. And they have other children that are back in whatever state they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you choose?
Yeah.
You know?
And what does that say to the other children?
Right.
Really,
yeah, I mean, you know, we're dedicated to your brother. We're leaving you. Or my parents will do anything for us.
Mm-hmm.
But they shouldn't have to choose to not have their parents there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know or can you share with us much about the past history of marijuana in the United States as far as what used to be and how things changed over the years?
Yeah, well, it's actually just been more recent that cannabis has been considered an illicit drug. It was a medicine. I mean, you can find, you can go online, you can find old tin can kind of things that are used at an apothecary that say marijuana. It was used as medicine, but there were other things that came into play. We had reefer madness came out and people thought people were going to go crazy, and so it went suddenly from this irrational thing, this thing that we use, and then one day we can't use it anymore. So then that was like in 1937. So we've been fighting prohibition for a long time, and we can see that it doesn't work because it didn't work with alcohol. It's not working with drug, and the war on drugs is just a money pit. I mean, that's kind of where it is, and that's where somehow the folklore of cannabis and the good and the bad of it, and you know, just comes from out of fear.
What are some of the things that you would like to share with the listeners in regards to the legislation that's coming up, or anything, any information you'd like to let them know about?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things. Let's first, most important, make sure everyone around you is a registered voter. And that's the other part that has come out of this, you know, working with getting cannabis legal is to see how many people are not registered to vote. And so that's my first thing. And then to go and vote on November. And come to a normal KC chapter meeting. And you can get, there's so much information online as well. Educate yourself on it. You don't have to necessarily just listen to what I'm saying, mm-hmm. or to what somebody else says. Mm-hmm. Educating yourself about anything else.
And there is a lot of information about the legalization of marijuana, medical marijuana, all on the internet, easily accessible.
Yeah.
So, and pro and con. So either side, you know,
right.
you can find out.
And
something.
it's important to know both sides. And the more you learn, the more you can realize, you know, some things really, they just kind of don't make sense. So, but so that's one of the big things I would say is to educate yourself on it, know what you're talking about, and try and help us volunteer when it comes time to really start having more educational things out there. We'll need that kind of thing.
So you're a nonprofit organization?
Yes.
Can you tell us?
Normal is
nonprofit. Yes. Now let me separate from normal once again. Are you still catering now?
I am. I'm not independently wealthy, mm-hmm. so I am still catering, and I kind of work in between. Not real busy right this minute, so I can work a lot more on my Nature's Apothecary business.
Any suggestions you have for other people who might be interested in selling medical marijuana when or if it is legalized in Missouri?
Well, again, as you really need to do a lot of research before you get into it. I mean, yes, it's a money maker, but there's a lot of work that goes into it, and there's a lot of things that you need to know before you just kind of jump off like I did. But I also had over a year and a half to learn how much I'd fill in all the big giant gaps I had. I would say just, if you're interested, learn about that. Also, I wanted to say is the ballot, the initiative that'll be on the ballot, the name of it's New Approach Missouri. And you can go, I think you can probably go on normalkc.org. You could also go to Show Me Cannabis, which is another grassroots organization legalizing. They really were the main force behind New Approach, and you can find the initiative. And I would read the initiative. It's not horribly technical to read, and it's not terribly long. But if you are interested in it, that's where I would start also.
All right, Julita, thank you for joining us here on Every Woman. This is Marvita, and this is Every Woman on KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City.
I come from women who gave up their power. I come